I think I heard all the parts. Everybody was singing their part. It sounded great. But it's not me we're trying to please. It's the Almighty. And we sing songs of praise and worship and adoration. It's good to have a singing every now and then. It's edifying, encouraging. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives what has been come to be known as the Great Commission. After he taught, walked the earth for 3.5 years, and taught a lot of people, and then they crucified him, and then he was raised from the dead. And just before he ascended to heaven, to the right hand of God, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We read the same account as in Mark, same accounts in Luke, but in essence, what Jesus said was, go teach people. Teach people about God. Teach them the gospel. After you've taught them, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. After you've done that, teach them some more. That's what the command is. Teach, baptize, teach, keep teaching. We find a good example of that in Acts chapter 8. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, if you would, please. I'm going to start in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. It says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert road. "So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: 'He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth.' The eunuch answered Philip and said, 'Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, he came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing." What we learn here is the eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing because he was saved. He did what he was told. He obeyed the gospel message, which was to believe and to be baptized. Now we can only hope that he had some more teaching done. He was not the only Christian in Ethiopia. He was not the only believer of the Lord in Ethiopia. Now, he had come from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem. It's about, 1,000 miles or more? In a chariot. That's a long ride in a chariot. But he was determined to go because he was a believer in God. We can only assume he was a proselyte. He had been converted to Judaism, and he was there to worship God for Passover. And he's on his way back. And, of course, the Spirit tells Philip to go talk to him. That's because he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. He's reading Isaiah 53 is what he was reading. And it says in verse 35, "Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, He preached Jesus to him. Jesus is prophesied all throughout the Old Testament, and Isaiah is one of the main places you find the messianic prophecies. So he preached Jesus to him, and then as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Preaching Jesus means preaching baptism. You can't preach Jesus and not preach baptism. And you know how many churches there are today that are preaching Jesus without preaching baptism? A lot. So many of our denominational friends, they're preaching Jesus, and what they're saying is, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you're saved. Then, if you want to be baptized, you can. To show everybody that you're a Christian. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach that preaching Jesus is preaching baptism. Why is that? Because Jesus said, we just read it a minute ago, Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus preached baptism. To preach Jesus means to preach baptism, but not baptism only. Jesus taught to confess his name before men. Jesus taught to repent of your sins. That's a big one, because nobody can be saved unless they repent of their sins. You got to know what your sins are. That means teaching has to take place. Teaching, you have to teach people what it means to repent of their sins. That means sometimes you have to teach people what sin is. So, we read that. I want to jump back earlier into chapter 8. Same chapter. Go back to the beginning of chapter 8. And begin in verse 4. We're talking about Philip the evangelist, as opposed to Philip the apostle. It says in verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. They were rejoicing because the gospel was being taught to them. They were learning all about God. Now, the Samaritans, you can read about them in the Old Testament, that they believed God Almighty, but they also believed that there were a lot of other gods, and he was just one of them. But Philip corrected them. He said, there's not a whole bunch of gods and Jehovah's only one of them. There's only one God, and let me tell you about him. And God was proving that what Philip was saying was true by allowing him to perform miracles. He was healing them, healing the paralyzed and the lame, and casting out demons. There was much rejoicing in that city. Verse 9 says, now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in that city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. He's a magician, and they're saying he must be working the works of God. And he's going, yep, that's me. He was a liar. He was absorbing all that praise and adoration. He was saying, yeah, I'm doing the works of God. He wasn't. He was a magician. He was fooling them into thinking he was doing miracles. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news means gospel. Gospel means good news. Preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. They had just simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Well, here we have a different conversion story. Philip was preaching to the Samaritans, and they believed. And so what did he do when they believed? He baptized them. Simon was one of them. Simon actually believed. He listened to the teaching. He listened as it was being taught, and he understood it, and he obeyed the gospel. Then what happened? His pride got the best of it. Because you'll notice, this is the same guy that was saying, yeah, I'm doing the power of God, but he was fooling people by doing tricks, magic tricks. But it says he was claiming to be someone great in verse 9. Astonishing people, claiming to be someone great. But you'll notice in verse 12, they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. He believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. That means he was saved. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Simon was a saved individual, and suddenly he's not a saved individual anymore because he has turned away from God and has turned back to his own pride. And suddenly he's like, let me pay you for that gift of handing the Holy Spirit to other people. Because he wanted people to come to him and not come to the apostles. And what's he told? Peter said, may your silver perish with you. That means he's going to perish now. Well, yeah, is it possible to be saved and then be lost? Absolutely. But you know how many denominations tell you that there's not? How many so-called Christian denominations tell you that once you're saved, your ticket's punched, you're on your way to heaven, there's nothing you can do to be lost? But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you can be saved and then be lost because you turned away from God and back to your own pride. You away from God. But the great thing about this passage is it tells us what to do. Because he turned his back on God, but Peter said to him in verse 22, therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. Nobody who's in the bondage of iniquity, that's sin, can go to heaven. If you're a slave of sin, you're not going to heaven. So, we see two conversion stories in the book of Acts. I read the later one first to show that preaching Jesus is preaching baptism. It's also preaching repentance and confession, but we see in the first part of Acts, there's somebody who did that, and they were saved, and then they turned away, and they were lost. But we find out what to do to be saved again, and that's to repent and ask God to forgive you and get back on the right track. Well, that's what repentance is. Repentance is a turning back. It's a turning back to God. We need to obey the gospel. That's what the gospel message is all about, obedience. We need to hear the word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, it was for this that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Us. He's talking about the apostles. The apostles wrote letters. Paul wrote letters. He said, our gospel, you're called through the gospel. That's how God calls people, through the gospel. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Yeah, you need to hear the word, but you need to believe it. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So that means we need to repent of those sins. Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's Luke 13:3, We need to repent of our sins. That means turning our lives around from living a life of sin to living a life of righteousness and doing what God wants us to do. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Paul told those on Mars Hill, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he's appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." The reason we need to repent is because judgment day is coming. Judgment day might be today. We don't know. It might be 10,000 years from now, but it might be today, or it might be tomorrow. We don't know when it is, but we want to be ready. And that means we need to repent of our sins and live a righteous life. We need to confess Jesus Christ. Jesus told us in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." It's important that we do that. And it's important that we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus taught it. The apostles were told to teach it. The apostles were told to do it and then teach them some more. Mark 16, 15 and 16, this is Jesus talking, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Believed what? Believe the gospel. What's the gospel? This is the gospel. It's not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's believing the word of God. This book is the book of Jesus. This book is all about Jesus. All the Old Testament is pointing toward him, and all the New Testament is pointing back at him, except for the Gospels, which tell all about his life. So we need to believe the word of God. Acts 2:38, Peter talking to the Jews who had crucified Jesus. He said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. That's what was promised by the Holy Spirit. That's what we plan on having. That's the hope that we have, is everlasting life. And we need to remain obedient. Matthew 7:21, I know, I never leave this pulpit without saying it. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven is who will enter." We need to continue to do the will of God if we want to be saved. If there's anyone present tonight who is subject to the invitation of Christ, if you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, or if you've done that and you would like to ask the brethren for prayers to help you get back on track, let that be known as we stand and as we sing this song.